At Ability Chiropractic, we believe every child deserves to grow up healthy, strong, and connected to the incredible power within their own body. From infants to adults, our doctors specialize in purposeful chiropractic care that restores balance between the brain and body, helping you and your family live and heal the way you were designed to, naturally. Families across Columbus are choosing to build lifelong wellness from the start. Discover what true health feels like at Ability Chiropractic. Schedule your visit today at abilitychiro.com.
Okay. Have you ever taken a Zumba class?
Yes, I love it. I'm actually pretty good at dancing.
Whoa. I never would have guessed that.
You know what's funny is that the things I say I'm good at, turns out I'm really bad at. One time I really was very much bragging at how good I was at Tetris. And then I had an opportunity to play Tetris and I was really bad at it. And Eric always, it doesn't matter what I say, he will turn around to how, oh, and also she's really good at Tetris. I'm like, shut up. So if I say I'm actually pretty good at dancing,
probably
I will probably break my leg today walking on the sidewalk.
I was Zumbaing. I can't believe that. You do that at the gym?
I usually do yoga at the gym, but I really do like Zumba. Yeah. At Lifetime, they're so intense. Those people are all on a magazine. Lifetime is an intense place to work out. And so going to a regular class, it's not just like going to a class where you can walk in and go, I'm, you know, in decent shape. I can
I'm great at Zumba.
Yeah, I'm great at Zumba. I'll be in the front and center. No. No, you start out in the broom closet. Nobody wants to see you. You are bad. Your clothes are bad. And you are bad with your feet.
Could you shut the door in there, please?
Would you mind coming when our class is over?
You mean they're all beautiful? You said they're from a magazine?
They're beautiful. They're in shape. Their clothes are great. Their hair is great. Everything about everybody at Lifetime is great.
Well, maybe they think you're great, Em. Okay. Get out of the closet, girl.
This is Emily Thomas, and you are listening to the Mom Struggling Well podcast.
Ladies, and welcome back to the Mom Struggling Well podcast. You are listening to episode 134. And I am talking today to a blogger, author, mother of five. Her name is Jen Schmidt. She just wrote a book that really resonates with my heart. I gotta say, I hate that phrase. It resonates with me. I don't know why I hate it, but I also don't know a better way to say it. It resonates. Her book is called Just Open the Door, and it's about hospitality, but it's about a lot more than just hospitality. As a perfectionist, I mean, I don't say that happily. It's the dumbest thing to be ever because it's not even possible. But as a perfectionist, hospitality can be super overwhelming, and there are so many readily available reasons why now's not the good time, our house isn't in the right order, we don't know our neighbors enough, we don't this, we don't that, it doesn't even matter. We can pull excuses out of thin air. So I really wanted to talk to her about that. She's got older kids, she's got married kids, she has a great perspective that we need to hear. She talks about making home a safe place, how to have open dialogues, how to be the house that everybody wants to be at. What do family trips look like? What do family meetings look like? It's just a lot of really good stuff. You're going to love it. Real quick, though, the cold open of the episode was me and my sister. She was interviewing me. That's just a little snippet of the Struggling Sisters segment that is available for supporters of the show. You can support the show at whatever amount you want. You could spend $1 a month. You could spend $10,000 a month. I recommend that. In fact, your husband might not, but I totally do. And then wherever you get your podcasts, in that feed will slide a Struggling Sisters podcast every other week. We recorded one this week and we could not stop laughing for a solid minute. It's just us laughing at each other. No words we even exchanged. I love those kind of relationships. You don't even have to talk. Just being on the phone with each other is somehow very funny. So anyway, if you're interested in supporting the show, it really helps me turn this into an actual job and less of a volunteer situation. But if that's not for you or it's not something you can do, I feel you. I get that. But if you'd like to, head to patreon.com/momstrugglingwell and you can get access to more shenanigans from me and my sister. Also, each week on Instagram on Wednesdays at 12 o'clock Central, so like high noon, I'm going to be doing an Instagram live where we can chitter chatter about whatever. You can ask me questions. I'll ask you questions. It can be about this week's episode. It can be about ways to not lose your narcotics. That's what I could use some help on. I don't know if you guys heard, I had surgery to fix a deviated septum. I only have the one deviated septum and I had it fixed. Anyway, my nose is gigantic and I got my narcotics filled, the prescription, and then as soon as I came home from the hospital, they were gone. And it's very hard to think about where could my narcotics be when your head feels like it's gonna explode. So anyway, they wouldn't give me more. Understandable. So I've been in an incredible amount of pain all week because Tylenol is not the same, just so you know. So anyway, if you see me on Instagram and I look like someone put a fake nose on top of my nose, it's because it's giant, but should go down soon and my black eye should go away. I'm looking forward to the black eye going away because it's not that pretty. None of it's that pretty. But apparently now my septum is pretty. No longer deviated. So, Instagram Live Wednesday at 12 noon Central Standard Time. All right, guys, let's get started on my chat with Jen. Hi, Jen. How are you this morning?
Hey, I am fine, Emily. Thanks so much for having me.
Yeah. So will you go ahead and introduce yourself to everybody?
Sure. My name is Jen Schmidt. I am the writer behind the blog Balancing Beauty and Bedlam. I have been pecking out my words and thoughts there for going on 10 years. I can't even believe that.
Yeah.
I know. It's crazy. Long before, you know, Instagram and Pinterest and all that stuff. So I feel like a dinosaur. I'm the mom of 5 children and just kind of entering a new life stage with that because our eldest son just got married.
Whoa.
And I am too young to have a married son. I feel that way. Like in my head, I'm still 25, right?
Yes, so, I agree.
And then our youngest is 14. So I'm just heading into the high school years with her. So.
Okay, so talk to me because a lot of my listeners have questions for me about in-law relationships, and I know you're brand new to being an in-law.
Oh, yeah.
What's going well and what is confusing or awkward? Or
it is funny that you ask about that. I am so fortunate and blessed. I mean, my new daughter in love, which that is what I've nicknamed her. She is wonderful and she makes my son a better man. And that is, you know, what we've been praying for, that they chase Jesus together. And hopefully he's doing the same for her. But it has come with, for me, just a lot of closing my mouth and just zipping it because I've got a lot of opinions and a lot of life experience behind me. And so everything in me wants to share that life experience with them so that they can benefit from my wise words, right? And I realized, no, that is the worst. And if I'm going to win mother-in-law of the year, I need to zip it and just love on them. And I'm here for them when they need me. And if they ask, they will. And so when they came home from their honeymoon, I like didn't stop over. I didn't go over. I told my son, I said, you need to know that I'm just giving you space and I'm here whenever you want. And it's kind of it's a fun little story twist because he is our firstborn. He's my truth teller. You know, we all seem to have one of those for the good, the bad, and the ugly.
Yes.
And I love it because he's really blunt and really honest, sometimes when he shouldn't be. But he's also my one that, you know, as a senior in high school was so ready. He gave me my gray hairs and was so ready to get out of the house. And I'm so sick of it. I just want to be out of here. And now, Emily, you would not believe, he is like popping in. He like wants to just come home. And so it's really, our relationship has changed into this beautiful, I told him, I'm like, you're actually fun to hang out with. Oh my God, you're fun.
What do you think caused that turnaround? Just time or maturity? Or what did you do as the mom?
As the mom, besides like being on my knees and begging the Lord for his intercession in the process, I think my husband and I really have been very intentional in our parenting about building strong family ties and kind of raising our siblings as best friends. We've taken really intentional steps to do that. So,
like what?
So it tangents a little bit from some of the things we did, but I think our home has always really been a safe place, very open in our dialogue, very open in our sin struggles. You know, I have always prayed that as they've struggled through just their worldview and developing a relationship with the Lord, that they would fail while they were still under our roof so that we could kind of help guide them along the way. And let me tell you, when you pray that, you better be ready because those failures came and I grew as a mom and realized I had a lot less control over their decisions than I thought I did. Yeah. When the kids are little, of course, we can't control tantrums and all those behaviors, but we can stick them in a timeout. We can forcibly shut their door on them and make them sit there. And as they, you know, get older and step out on their own, you need to give them that room to breathe and to grow. And so we did little things like have family meetings and were pretty open with dialogue, addressed those issues head on. Something that's a little weird, because I get that question a lot from Instagram people who watch my stories, where they see this really special relationship with our kids. And so we just recently went on a family trip. And this is no judgment. Like, anybody can do whatever they want, because sometimes when you go on a family trip as the mom, you just want your own time. So it's in the best interest for all your kids to bring a friend, right? So that they're out of your hair.
Oh, that's a good idea. Okay.
We decided, though, early on that if we really wanted to build sibling relationships and siblings as best friends, we needed to cultivate an environment where they became each other's best friend.
Okay.
So for family trips, we never let them bring friends.
Okay.
And that's, you know, obviously a little thing, but we've seen now that over the decade, when we go on trips, they look to their siblings, like, who do they want to hang out? They really do want to hang out with their family.
Okay.
And so that's a little thing.
Do you have a dream that you want to start, or maybe an idea for a business, but you don't know how to actually get it up and going? Maybe you're trying to figure out how you can make more income from home so you can finally go on vacation every once in a while, for heaven's sakes. My friend Karen is the founder of the Pursuit Community, and she is going to help us out with this problem. So Karen's launching a new experience that I am personally going to be going on, and I can't wait. And I wanted to tell you about it in case you wanted to come too. So she's created a new experience called a mastermind retreat, and only 20 women get to go. So over the course of 6 months, Karen's gonna walk with all 20 women, help them identify their strengths, dream up an idea, turn the idea into a profitable income stream that continues to make money while you sleep. That sounds pretty great to me. And the best part, we're all gathering at a gorgeous farmhouse outside of Nashville for a fun weekend of dreaming and planning, and I'm sure lots of amazing food and laughing. Karen has a really impressive history of building very profitable businesses. And so joining this group is like getting your hand held by someone who actually knows what they're doing. Karen's goal is to have your dream ready, launched, and making money by August. And because she loves Mom Struggling Well listeners almost as much as I do, she is going to give my listeners a coupon code to save $325 off the ticket cost. Visit pursuitcommunity.com and click mastermind for all the details. At registration, use the code MSW and you'll save $325. And I will see you in Nashville. Okay, so talk to me about family meetings. I'm pretty type A, and so I like to know, like, what does that look like?
Okay, well, then you're probably the wrong person in talking to me, because if you're type A, I am like type Z. I am like as loosey-goosey, fly by the seat of my pants. I need a little bit of your blood in me, and we'd be like this great blend.
Yes.
So while when they were young, I set up these boundaries and times, and we were going to gather on Friday nights, and we were going to like discuss our goals, and all those are great and beneficial. And for moms and dads who are wired that way, I wish I was wired more that way. But as kind of life became busier and as schedules became crazier, they were much more flexible and fluid and came about when we needed them to.
And how do you know what's an issue that's like the whole family needs to meet, or when do you help? Not that there's secrets, but there's a struggle with a child and you kind of want to help them through it in a way that is protecting their privacy.
Absolutely.
In a way? How do you
Absolutely.
Know which is which?
Yeah. And protecting their privacy is a good thing, because I think that's a lot of times why moms don't write as much about the teenage years, is because you've got to guard their reputation and guard those issues. And that's very much the same in a family, because I think if you don't want to pit siblings against each other, you don't want to create an atmosphere of one-upping within, you know, we had three boys in 4 years. So you can imagine the testosterone and the competitiveness, and they were all athletes and all in sports, and some excelled more than others. So the last thing that we would want to develop is the spirit of competition and jealousy or whatever. So I think more general sin issues that are intuitively something all kids deal with, we would just gather around and talk about that as a family. We would have our devotional time. One of my big themes is fighting for family dinner time. And I write that in my upcoming book. One of the things I really believe in is the power of the table. And this does not mean like homemade gourmet meals. This could mean like frozen pizza on a regular basis, because that's how it looks sometimes in our house. Mm-hmm. But I always light the candles every dinner time. It is very funny. We could be having box macaroni and cheese or frozen pizza, and I dim the lights and I light the candles and we come around the table, and that's where we do life. And it allows me, I can have like 5 loads of laundry piled up on the sofa behind me, which I do actually right now. But when you just give your soul a respite around the dinner table and gather it, it allowed life to flow, and we would do our highs and lows of the day. It was, you know, an organic time, another emphasis on bringing our family together and creating those family times. And now it's been so interesting to see how we have a ton of people in and out of our house. And a lot of the hospitality that we show are towards our kids' friends. We want to be that place that everybody wants to hang out. We want to be that place where, you know, once they cross over that line and they start calling me Mama Jen or Mama Schmidt, I know I've made it, you know. Yeah. But when we bring them to the table, so many times we've got like, Mama Jen, you need to talk to my mom. Have her light the candles. She never burns the candles. Or we do conversation starters. And she's like, you know, can you tell my mom to do this? And the last thing I want to do is inbred that in another mom. Like, hey, you need to do this like the Schmidts do, because that's not good for anybody. But I think what it cries out to is that just like women, our souls ache for community, you know, and the more we're online, the more social media becomes a part of our life, we're actually becoming lonelier. And that also is manifesting itself in profound ways within our children, because they're trying to replace relationships by being on Snapchat and Instagram and watching what everybody else does, but they're really longing for deep personal one-on-one relationships. And so we see that happening when kids are at our house and what they want to talk about. Like, they'll open up to us in ways that, you know, they might not, just because we're trying to foster that. And it's never perfect. It's always pretty messy. You know, I'm a type Z, so my house is never spotless. It's always kind of come and go. But it's really been amazing to see how the Lord has used those seasons, especially even when I was a young mom. You know, I think we all struggle with that. How's the Lord going to use me? What's my calling? What's my big ministry? And I've realized that as I look back, I may have had this blog platform that has spoken to many women, or I'm a worship leader, or I'm on different committees. And yet I really believe that when I look back over my legacy of quote unquote calling, the greatest launching pad for kingdom purpose has been right from my own family room, right from my own table. It's been in those little day-to-day decisions to welcome people into my home. And so that's where I get really excited.
You said your kids are in sports, and how do you maintain dinner times when that's probably when a lot of practices are?
Absolutely. Okay. That's a huge issue. And so, you know, one of my suggestions for people, especially when it comes to sports, is one, we need to get sports off of the platform of our idol, because sports in a lot of ways has become an idol. And I can say that as a mom of a Division I football player who right now is having his pro day for the NFL this week.
I saw that. I'm like, what?
And who knows? It's a total long shot, you know, but it's a dream, you know, that he's pursuing. So when I talk about that, I know intimately the ins and outs of the craziness of the sports world.
You're not kidding.
I know that. Yeah. But I also see how crazy parents, starting at these young ages, become like vicariously living through their child, thinking for sure that they're going to be the next, you know, whoever.
Yeah.
And things just get really out of balance. I mean, I think so parents just need to really pray about the decisions when it comes to sports. We finally made it so that our kids could only choose one outside activity a season, because it was just too much. You know, we were piling like every activity on their plates, and it's not healthy for them. It's not healthy for family time. Yeah. You know, there's no downtime. And so while I say fight for your meal time, that can be anytime. A lot of times what it looked like was us coming home to a very quick meal, but then we would do dessert together, or we would come outside and we gather everybody. And it might, now obviously if you got little kids that have to be in bed, but for us, you know, right before bedtime, we would go out on our porch. Again, we would light some candles and we would just sit and have a little treat so that we had this focused family time out on our porch. So,
okay, I have a question. What do you do when your kids are like in a bad mood and they don't want to come? Is it like,
okay, well, and then that determines who leads the home, right? Because I see a lot of parents allowing the children to make the decisions. And I'm not saying that you rule with an iron fist, like, we are going to have this family time on the porch. Because
you will eat this cake on the porch.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. You will have a fun time developing strong family ties. You know, obviously, every day is going to be different. But there are kids who sometimes are putting their foot down just to put their foot down. And you need to be able to, as a mom, step back and decide, okay, when is this something that needs to be addressed? Because it's a character issue. Yeah. And when do you need to say, oh, he's just, he or she's just really had a long day. They're exhausted. You know what? We're going to do this another time. Yeah. So there's that ebb and flow of really getting to the heart of your child and really knowing their character issues. And I think sometimes as moms, that's a really hard thing because we live with them. We need to be open. One of the best ways to kind of point them to Jesus is being intimately acquainted with their character struggles. Just like we know, like I know my gifts, but I'm really well acquainted with my struggles, right? Mm. Sometimes I don't always want to admit them, but I've found that the more I step into being open with those things that I'm dealing with, I can be a better mother, right? And it's the same with our kids. So if your child is dealing with like a rebellious spirit, well, you just have to identify that and not pretend that it's not there. You know, if they're dealing with a really selfish attitude, and a lot of times those kind of things come out when you know, I'm big on hospitality. That's my new book out, is Just Open the Door. Well, when you welcome people into your home, it's the most vulnerable place, right? It's where your stories and your clutter and your messy lives and your messy classes are exposed. But it's also where your kids, their selfishness, oh my goodness, you've got four kids over, and all of a sudden you realize right in front of you, they don't want to share at all. They don't want to share their toys. That's a hard place to be. But as a mom, be willing to just like pray and be open and look at that and say, okay, I see this. You know, this is an area that once these friends leave, that we need to work on. And maybe then that's an area that you set up more times to have people over so that you can walk them through that. Like sitting your four-year-old down and just saying, I know you love this toy, but what a wonderful opportunity to share. And it's not a one and done. Like they're not going to miraculously all of a sudden be these like generous, wonderful four-year-olds, but it's this process that occurs the more you're practicing this attitude of service and pointing them to Jesus.
Yes. I love it. So important. Ladies, you need to know about PrepDish if you haven't heard about them before. PrepDish is the way that I save time and increase my efficiency in the kitchen. I don't have to think about the meals I'm going to make, and this is such a time saver in my crazy schedule. So what PrepDish is, it is a healthy subscription-based meal planning service. So when you sign up, you're going to receive an email every week with a grocery list and instructions for prepping your meals ahead of time. After only 1 to 3 hours of prepping on the weekend, you'll have all the meals ready for the entire week. You will feel like you're winning at life. Why? Because you are winning at life. You will save time and have amazingly delicious meals. This week, I'm having coconut milk ice cream with balsamic marinated strawberries. I know I should be excited about the actual food part, but I'm most excited about that ice cream. So the founder, Allison, is offering listeners of this podcast a free 2-week trial to try it out. You can't beat that, you guys. Check out prepdish.com/MSW for this amazing deal. Again, that's prepdish.com/MSW, and you'll get your first 2 weeks for free. Okay, so I have a question about your 200-year plan.
Oh, yes. Okay.
I love it. Tell me about that.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I did put that on my about page. I need to probably reevaluate that. I think I do not take lightly the huge gift that I have been given by having parents who have been super intentional with pointing us to Jesus and being very intentional in purposeful parenting and kind of this legacy plan. So years ago, my dad kind of sat down, and even now he tweaks it and works it out. And they created a purpose statement for our family that included, you know, their marriage and included ministry and included what we could do as a family. And in his mind, he has planted, and my mom, they have cast this vision of generational legacy, right? That as we parent, as we mother, we're not just mothering our children. We are mothering our children's children and their grandchildren. And that is a really nervous place to be when we realize, okay, there's enough pressure to make the day-to-day choices with our own children, but then to think, holy cow, our choices now are impacting generations. But it's very biblical when we look at this legacy and this generational legacy. And so that's kind of where it started. And so one of the things that we did do, not all of my siblings, that's kind of a funny story, but we ended up buying land together. We were in Wisconsin, and while we were in Wisconsin, we bought land together. My parents were living here, and our dream was to buy a whole bunch of property, and it happened. It has 19 cousins were kind of raised on 20 some acres. We didn't do life together day in and day out, but the cousins have. And it's been tricky. You know, I know people right now are saying, oh my gosh, you could not pay me to live near my parents or my siblings. And I get that. My mom grew up in an alcoholic home, and she had, you know, a very difficult upbringing. And so what I love is that when she was a brand new baby believer, she heard Jill Briscoe, who's our pastor's
Jill Briscoe.
Wife.
Yes.
Yeah, so her husband married us. We grew up at their church, so they are very dear friends. And she reminded my parents, who were new Christians, she just said, you know, your legacy, it starts today, right? You know, moms right now who are listening say, you have no clue about my background. You have no clue how horrible it was. You have no clue the damage that occurred. And then my encouragement is, your legacy starts today. You and the Lord have the opportunity to like create whatever home environment you choose starting today. And so we can leave behind that. And I just feel so blessed that when I was, you know, in elementary school, my parents chose that new legacy. Yeah. And so with it, they wanted to leave behind the old and point us to the glory of the Lord. And so they started steps and they tripped along the way, as we all do. You know, we're all making mistakes. While my brothers and I are all, we chase Jesus and we sometimes do it together, it's still hard, you know, when it comes to raising kids. I mean, living close together, I mean, we've had our shares of really difficult times, and we've had to practice the biblical model of confrontation often.
Yeah.
And, you know, going one to one, and there have been hard times and hurts have occurred. But we know that there's no greater place that Satan wants to attack than strong, godly families. He's got everybody else, you know, but he wants to attack the core family of believers. And so we see that girding up our home and our family life, we see that as one of the most important things that we can do in our day-to-day spiritual life, is just praying for our children and inviting them along on this journey, and then opening our door to invite non-Christians and other people who we want to link arms with.
Yeah. I do want to talk about hospitality. We recently started Taco Tuesday in our neighborhood, and we just invite anybody over every Tuesday. And there is a little bit of like fear, like what if somebody crazy comes, or what if somebody comes who's a bad influence on my kids? Or we haven't let that stop us, but that fear is like kind of there. Like you said, you're inviting people into your most intimate place, you know? And so talk to me about hospitality and your kids and what that looks like for people. They feel like it's harder than it actually is, I think.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, like I said, when we're inviting people, we are most vulnerable. And how awesome for you guys that you actually took that first step and tried to cultivate community, right? Because I think when we talk about loving the Lord your God, you know, the greatest commandment, well, it's also to love your neighbor as yourself. And sometimes if you've grown up in the church, you have like done that coloring sheet so many times that you tend to overlook that that is the greatest commandment. And so why not start with our literal neighbors, right? Those people that we are seeing every day, or we should be seeing, whether it's walking the dog, or maybe it's in our work cubicle, starting with those people who are right next to us. And there is a lot of fear. I think more for women, more so than the fear of like, what if the crazy person comes? It's the fear of measuring up, and that her house isn't good enough, and that it's messy, and that it's, and I think the telltale sign for me when that happens, when we allow our insecurities to stop us from opening the door, is that we've allowed social entertaining, this Pinterest perfect idea of like beautiful tablescapes and a beautiful home, to hijack the true heart of hospitality. And when we think about hospitality, it's bending low and it's welcoming people into the everyday with us. Whereas entertaining is all about us. It's like bringing the glory to us. And so my prayer as people read Just Open the Door is that they really will see it as, it's not about having these big, you don't have to invite 20 people over. It can start with something as little as one life on life invitation, this gift of invitation that my tag is how one invitation can change a generation. And I in no way want to overmarket or oversell, because there's a lot of buzzwords where people are like, change the world with these steps or change a generation. But I've seen through 4 decades of open door living how one invitation, one simple, yes, you can come and join me, let's do life together, shifts our family tree, shifts this legacy that we're talking about. So as young moms, when we're trying to think like, where can the Lord use me? My schedule's busy. You know, we brought up sports. And let me tell you, when my husband, he first signed my kids up for football, I mean, I swear, I thought like there was some blood oath that I just committed to, because I didn't know the schedule. It was like 4 days a week. I had a chip on my shoulder and I was really upset. I was like, I'm not going to let this schedule steal my life. I just was upset about it. And all of a sudden, sitting on the sidelines during one of their practices, it was as if the Lord just said, Jen, you desire to point others to me, and you invite people to your table, and you've been praying for a way to make your table look more like Jesus. Look to the left and the right of you. These women, these dads sitting next to you are from every socioeconomic background, every nationality, all different skin colors. I'm overthinking this. I am making hospitality into something that it's not. And so once he kind of whispered that to me, I changed my idea and I said, you know what? For this season, I'm taking my hospitality on the go. I had the 2 little girls were like in strollers and 4, and I started bringing a blanket. I started bringing some snacks. I figure I'm already here anyhow, and these women need to know about Jesus. And so it's not like I came with the Bible and, you know, boinked it on their head. I just started saying, hey, you want to join me on the blanket? And I brought some snacks and some goldfish for their kids. And I started getting to know women from all different backgrounds. Now what I love about that is that's what, maybe 15 years later, and the Lord has used the sidelines of sports fields as one of my greatest missions fields. I have hosted people for potlucks. I have hosted people in hotel rooms when we've traveled and we had a condo, and I made up 4 dozen eggs and bacon, and I had 40 people smush into this little hotel condo, and people loved it. It wasn't anything special. I didn't worry about what my house or my table looked like. A lot of times it was red Solo cups with a little Sharpie marker that said, hey, these things are expensive. Write your name on it, you know? And so it was like a shift. It was a shift in my mentality. And so that's my prayer for the book too, is that when you guys think of your homes, it is this place that the Lord wants to use to impact the culture and to impact your neighborhood and to start those relationships. Like you said, it doesn't have to be anything big and fancy. I love the Taco Tuesday, you know, make up a bunch of ground beef. We've done burrito bowls. People will love it.
And then if you give them, bring a topping, then they get to bring something they want. They're a part of it, you know?
Exactly. Bring the sour cream. Someone, you know, people want to bring stuff. And so you don't have to be the martyr and do it all yourself. Most of the hospitality that occurred in our home was during times where we really had no money. A lot of my blog posts, Balancing Beauty and Pedlam, when my blog was kind of bigger, was I wrote a lot about our year of unemployment, like where by the end of this year, we had five kids and people were bringing us groceries. And that was a really, really painful and humbling place to be. Yeah. And yet I experienced him in such a way, like where my hands were completely empty. And I never have forgotten that. And I know now that a lot of the hospitality that we've offered has been where we didn't have a lot of money. You know, we don't have a basement. We do have land. So that's kind of a party in itself. You know, kids love to climb on trees if they can.
Yes, yes.
But we just made it simple and just like, hey, come on, do life together. Sometimes that spontaneous hospitality is the best because people aren't expecting it. So like your Taco Tuesday idea, you know, you can throw out a text or an email to some of the neighbors. Sometimes I've done root beer float parties is the best. Like, hey, in the cul-de-sac or a front yard, let's do a root beer float party. Just come on and do it for that night or the next day, because then the expectation is completely like, I'm all about lowering the bar, you know?
Yes.
And so when you do a last minute invitation, sometimes it's the best because people aren't expecting fireworks in your front yard. They're just coming to hang out.
That's so good. I love root beer floats also. So good.
I know, you too.
I want to take a minute and tell you about a Bible study that just came out about our identity. We've all heard the phrase, find your identity in Christ, but a lot of us don't even really know what that means. This study, Identity, A Soul Journey, unpacks the answer to that age-old phrase in a real and practical way. A lot of us, even committed Christians, spend the majority of our lives finding our identity in the wrong things. The roles we play, the things that have happened to us, whatever we find most valuable. We define ourselves by our title, our body shape, our income, the houses we live in, the successes of our children, but none of these things were meant to define us. So this identity study takes women on an in-depth journey of discovering their true God-given identity. You'll walk away with a better understanding of who God specifically made you to be and how your childhood, the things that happened to you, your passions, the way you're wired, and your circumstances have shaped you into who you are today. You will find joy in no longer pretending to be something that you're not, but instead knowing exactly who you were designed to be. The study's been described as a mixture of Bible study and a counseling session. Heaven knows, most of us need both of those things. So to check out this new resource, go to godlovesallofme.org/resources. That's godlovesallofme.org/resources. Okay, so you have five kids. You have a lot going on. You just wrote a book. How do you take care of yourself? What works for you?
So it is so funny because I know that self-care is important. And some things have never changed, even when, you know, when they were all little, because we had them all pretty close together. I would just in the middle of chaos, I'm a big reader, like even fiction or whatever. And you would just find me like laying on the couch, letting them jump off the side of the furniture while I was just reading. So I do step back. I think the way that I'm able to balance, well, I mean, I say I balance the beauty and the bedlam because sometimes there's a lot more bedlam in my life than the beauty, but you seek those moments out. Like I'm always seeking for those little moments because I really believe that those are the most beautiful ones in life. But I'm very much about stepping back. So right now, I'll just be honest. I am in way over my head. I mean, I strategically, probably 4 years ago, stepped back on my blog so that I could create more margin in my life because I just felt like this rat race of work and everything. So I stepped back and created margin. And my joke has been, okay, all the margin that I created the last 4 or 5 years has been all dumped on me in the last 6 months because our son got married. We literally had, you know, 75 people in our house over the whole wedding weekend. My book was due, all the marketing stuff. I host a women's conference that's coming up next month. And so I'm in over my head. And one of the things I haven't really talked about is along with the book, I also am having the next Lifeway Bible study and DVD coming out. So
my goodness.
I know, too much all at one time. And so I have had to just kind of step back and try and create that place where I could just regroup and realize, okay, I am not going to do this again. Like identify when I have put too much on my plate. And I didn't know, like when I signed my book contract, my son wasn't engaged. I didn't know we were going to be having the wedding. I mean, there was a lot of things that were out of my control.
Yeah.
But I think one of the things for us as mothers is when we start feeling that place where we are completely overwhelmed, we need to be really intentional in examining our schedule and opening up our phone or daytime or whatever you do and saying, what is a necessity?
Mm-hmm.
What is really life-giving for me right now? And what is draining me? What is pointing others to the Lord? And what is more about like just pointing people to me?
Yeah.
And so those are some of the questions that I have to ask myself.
And it's hard because like I did it in the fall. I completely overbooked myself and I didn't realize I was doing it until I was like, I can't even do the next 3 months. And so I canceled all my interviews and said, listen, I'm not able to do this right now. I've overbooked myself and I need time with my family and everything. And we are afraid people are going to say, oh my gosh, like you're such a failure or, you know, how could you be so flaky? But everybody, and even if they weren't, you get to a point where you're like, I don't care if you're mad. Like, I just literally can't do this. But everybody was like, way to go, man. And it was really good. And I think the hard thing too is we want to cut the things that we love because we don't feel like we have time for that. But that's the stuff that makes you like a decent human. Like, so for me, like painting my nails, I don't even go anywhere. I do it myself, but that helps me feel like a person.
Oh, yeah. And for me, it is reading like sometimes mindless fiction. And I feel so guilty. I mean, there's times like I'll have a deadline. Okay. So this is bad. This is part of like, I need a little more type A blood, but there were times with my book and hopefully like my editor, my publisher doesn't ever listen to this, but there were times with the book deadlines that I was so completely overwhelmed. And this is kind of my go-to when I get to that place. I do run a little and all of a sudden I'd be on the couch reading. And this is when you start getting older kids. This is the downside of it because my 18-year-old daughter, she's like, Mom, don't you have a deadline? You've been complaining about your deadline.
Oh my goodness.
I'm like, okay. You know, so it was funny. We had a good, she like completely called me on it. But
I love that.
So sometimes I kind of like run from it and that's not good either. So it is, it's just kind of being careful. Sometimes it happens and it's, you can't do anything about it. So then you have to assess the situation and say, okay. But when our kids were little and I started seeing that our schedule was every single day was packed with something, that's when those red flags went up because I said, you know what? My 9-year-old, I remember when he was asked to be the starting pitcher on this new travel team. And my husband was actually the one who just said, no, we're not doing it. And I was like, but they need him. They need him. And they are so mad at us that we're not letting him play. I mean, I felt guilty. And then he could just kind of gently was like, he's 9. They don't need him. And it allowed me to put that into perspective because that travel team was all weekends and Sunday. And so we wanted, you know, our kids to be in church and it was all these things. And it was, we had no downtime with the family to connect.
Yeah.
And that is a red flag. When you're in that rat race of family scheduling, something has got to go.
Yeah.
And then you got to kind of think long-term. And one of the best stories with our son and the fact that he was All-American in football this year is that we homeschooled for lots of years. Most of our years we homeschooled. But then when we realized that he had potential to get a full ride for football, and this was probably 9th grade, we realized, okay, he needs to be in a school with a football team. In lots of other sports with homeschooling, you don't need it. Like they have AAU teams or whatever. But for football, you need to be on a public school team to get looked. And so we were hoping that they would change the laws in North Carolina so that he could play on the public school team. But he couldn't. He needed to enroll.
Okay.
Well, he did not play football his sophomore year of high school. And when you look at sports, like that is a death wish, right?
Okay.
He didn't play any football, but look at, he ended up getting a full ride. He took that time off. It was okay. So I tried telling young moms when coaches are trying to say, we need your kid playing soccer at 7. We need your kid on this team. If they want to do anything, if they want to play in high school, they need to start now. That is a lie. Mm. They don't need to be around the clock, always involved. So
that's really good to hear. We're not sports people, so it's not an issue for us.
So sorry.
But it is for a lot of people, right? And so I always like to ask more questions about that. Okay, so I have one more question for you. What is something you can't stop talking about right now?
Okay, right now it varies, right, on seasons of life. But mm-hmm. I think if I would take my overall general, right now I'm just talking a ton about my passion for opening your door in all different areas of your life and what that looks like. And so in Just Open the Door, it's not a book on like hospitality. It really looks at comparison. It really looks at frugal living. I talk thrifting. I talk meal planning. And so if I would kind of narrow it down, I'm a huge thrifter. I'm a huge like trash to treasure person. Mm. I get super excited when women can create and find beauty out of simple things. So I love walking alongside women and encouraging them on their journey. I think like my joy is just to walk along with women and talk about the day-to-day struggles we have, and not just with parenting, but with our homes and creating just a place where we can feel grounded and yeah. a place that says welcome home. And so that is thrifting and easy home stuff and painting furniture and spray painting. And so kind of that stuff. I am definitely not like a home blogger, but I love for women who, no matter the budget, can mm-hmm. do simple things in their home. So
I love that. I really look forward to reading your book.
Thank you.
Yeah. Well, thank you, Jen, for sharing all that. It's really encouraging and I love your perspective, and you've done it well, and the rest of us can know that it can eventually go well for us. Yay. Well, Jen had a lot of really good things to say. I hope that you feel encouraged and like you can do this. We don't need to make it as hard as we do. None of it. So whichever thing you liked the best, having open dialogue, gathering people around the table, inviting people over, being a more chill mom who embraces your kids messing up so that you can walk them through it while they're under your roof. There's so many things that we can make less difficult and worry about less, or not at all. What about that plan? So let's talk about some strategies to struggle well for this week. For one, I'd pick up Jen's new book. There's a link to it in my show notes. You can get the show notes at momstrugglingwell.com. Maybe you work on having open dialogue with your kids this week. Maybe you bring up a topic that you don't feel comfortable talking about. And if you can't bring it up on your own, bring it up with a book. She talked about being open with sin struggles, just saying, hey, that was wrong that I did that, or this is where I struggle. Something that I've been doing lately with my daughter, who tends to be really not that interested in people's feelings, and I tend to be super interested in people's feelings, is when I'm telling her, you know, we need to really kind of consider other people, even if it doesn't make sense to us why they're feeling that way. The fact is they are feeling that way, and it's valid that they're having that feeling. I can then on the other side of the coin say, and a way that I could grow is to have a little thicker skin and not take things so personal. By virtue of the fact that we are their parents, we're always correcting them. We're always telling them a better way to do something. So I think it's really good to then also say, you may struggle with this thing, but I struggle in this other way. Or I struggle with the same thing you're struggling with. I get it. So I think that's really gone a long way to help my daughter realize that I'm not against her. Okay, so I want to talk about a couple things. I want to talk about Taco Tuesday. That's something that we've started. That's kind of the way that we are just, quote unquote, just opening the door, like Jen says. People have been doing Taco Tuesday for a long time. My friend Chantel Brewer, she was episode 86's guest. She talks about Taco Tuesday. That's who I actually first heard about someone doing it as like a regular way to know the people that live around them. And episode 86 was like a while ago. And I love the idea. Like I said, it resonated, even though I don't like saying that. It did. And it took me about a year to knock down all the barriers that I put up to doing it. Even like silly stuff, like what if, so dumb, like, but what if a robber comes over? What if a robber comes to have tacos at my house and they leave with what? My old dumb TV or some of my kids' toys that I wish were gone anyway? So I decided to invite robbers. Just kidding, I did not. But things like, what if I have Taco Tuesday every week and people don't really feel like coming, but they only come because they feel like they have to? Or what if nobody comes and then I just feel like a big dummy? And quite honestly, that might happen, but it hasn't happened yet. Taco Tuesday is bumping, man. It is full and it is fun and it's loud and it's awesome. But even after I committed, even after I felt like this was a great idea for us to do in this season of our family's lives, every Tuesday I started feeling that same like, oh no, somehow this is going to be terrible. So I think when we have those feelings, that doesn't mean we're doing it wrong. It means we're probably doing something great, and it would be easier not to. But really great things are not usually easy. I want to tell you a story because I think it will be encouraging to you. When I first got married, I didn't really know how to cook at all because I was really never interested in it. But I decided when I got married, I really wanted to be good at cooking. Except for, unfortunately, I married a man who was super good at cooking and did not need me to cook. But he's so kind, and so he let me cook even though I was terrible at it. But I used to be so uptight about hospitality and entertaining that one time when we first got married, and that's the thing, I would make recipes that were way too hard for me to make because I didn't know what I was doing. I would make recipes I had never made before. So you have the complicated factor, you have the unknown, is it even a good recipe factor? I decided to pile all that on top of myself. Plus, I needed everything to match, be beautiful. I needed to look good. I mean, it was a disaster waiting to happen. So one day I invited over another couple, and one of the sides that I made was like some fancy carrot dish or something. I don't even know. And it was ruined because of course I had never made it before and I didn't know if it was any good, but it wasn't good. I almost canceled the whole thing. Like they were probably in their car driving to our house and I almost told them, don't come. The carrots aren't right. What? If you feel like you are a little uptight, I promise you, I win. Like I was not gonna open the door because of carrots. That is insanity. So now, fast forward, it's been like 12 years or 14. I don't know how long I've been married. Let's just let that go. I'm not good at numbers. It's been more than 10 years, less than 20. And every single week, I open up my house to I don't even know who, possibly robbers. And all I make is some ground beef with taco seasoning. Everything else is a question mark. Will anyone come? What will they bring? Nobody knows. And guess what? I'm good with it. What? If that is not growth, I don't know what is. So guys, just open the door. And let me tell you, Taco Tuesday is a disaster a lot of the times. Every single time, some kid, unfortunately a lot of times it's mine, does something ridiculous. But what I love about it is one of my neighbors was saying, when our kids act ridiculous, that's sometimes a time where we think, oh, I can't take you anywhere. We cannot come to this anymore. We cannot host this anymore. But that is exactly the time that you keep hosting it because you need another redo. You need another rep. Let's try not writing on the bedroom walls of our friend. What if this time we try not pushing down kids that are 5 years younger than us? So I think it's really important to not think our kids need to act perfectly, but realize we are setting up some real world kind of apprenticeship experiences to teach them how to be decent human beings. And they are gonna mess it up, but there's tacos, so everything's gonna be okay. Another thing I wanted to talk about on the same lines of hospitality, Kristen Schell of The Turquoise Table, she was episode 93, so you can go back and listen to that if you want. She is coming to Dallas and doing a Turquoise Table event in my neighborhood. My actual neighbors will be there. I know you guys love them. My neighbors were episode 100, if you want to listen to that. One of my actual neighbors is making me an actual turquoise table. This episode is brought to you by the word actual, apparently, because I'm using it so much. Anyway, so it's a turquoise table meetup. It's going to be in my neighborhood. It's on Friday, April 20th at 9:30 in the morning. It's a free event, but they need you to sign up so they know how many people are coming. You can find out more in the show notes of this episode. Go to momstrugglingwell.com/podcast. We would love to see you. You can meet my neighbors. I'm telling you what, this is going to be so fun because they have just decided. They've just taken it upon themselves to run this like they would run one of their regular events. This isn't even their event, but they don't even care. They are planning stuff. So you are basically going to get the authentic Emily Thomas's neighborhood experience on this day. So if you are anywhere near Dallas, get yourself there April 20th. And you'll get to do what I usually do and just show up and be like, you guys are awesome. Thanks for doing all this. All right, guys, let me pray for us. Lord, there's no way around the fact that people are a big deal to you. God, help us have an honest look at how we get in the way of being hospitable. Whether it's we turn it into something more complicated than it needs to be, or we turn it into a bigger deal than it actually is. Lord, this week I pray that these sweet moms listening will have some quiet time with you and just invite you into helping them see in what tiny way can they be hospitable. Because the outcome of hospitality is huge, but what we actually have to do to get it set up is really not. So help us remove the barriers to just opening our door. Or even like Kristen Schell does, just sitting at a table in the front yard. You don't even have to open your door. God, help us not make it so stinking hard this week. Show us how. We know you're faithful. In Jesus' name, amen.
At Ability Chiropractic, we believe every child deserves to grow up healthy, strong, and connected to the incredible power within their own body. From infants to adults, our doctors specialize in purposeful chiropractic care that restores balance between the brain and body, helping you and your family live and heal the way you were designed to, naturally. Families across Columbus are choosing to build lifelong wellness from the start. Discover what true health feels like at Ability Chiropractic. Schedule your visit today at abilitychiro.com.